How many of you were watching the astronauts? Were watching the Artemis 2 mission as it unfolded through last week? How many of you were watching any of that? The launch? Yeah? The live stream? Did you see the splashdown? It was late. It was late for us. Early in the morning. I watched it. How exciting has that been? It's been so exciting for me, who, of course, am too young to have seen the Apollo missions when people were going to the moon and landing on the moon and going around the moon. Suddenly, in our lifetime, seeing this happen, seeing that we have the technology to make it happen, we have people, huge teams of people, not just the astronauts themselves, but huge teams of people who had made that possible, who looked after them on the run-up, through it, talking to them, encouraging them, supporting them when they returned. Just a true, wonderful image of what human beings can do when we put our minds to it. That is nothing to do with the negative stuff that we can have in this world. Often we find ourselves driven by negativity in this world. We do things because we're afraid, or we do things because we're worried. When we send people to the moon, it's much more hopeful than that, I think. It's a glance up and out. There's something about hope in that. There's something about joy in that. And it's wonderful to watch and see. It's one of those things that astronauts experience when they first leave Earth's atmosphere that has had a name coined for it. It's called the overview effect. A man called Frank White coined this term for it in the 80s. And basically what this is that when you get outside of Earth, when you're able to look back and see it as the globe that it is, as this fragile blue-green gem in space, it almost has a transformative effect. Astronauts talk about the experience of realizing how fragile the Earth is, how small it is. You get outside of the atmosphere and suddenly you see how thin the atmosphere, that gives us life in this world, that blanket of oxygen and nitrogen that supports life, how thin and fragile it is, how black and endless the space outside of it is, and a feeling of unity, of love for all the human race, that we are together in this tiny, tiny lifeboat. That's the word that Christina Koch used for it. A lifeboat in space, all together. How small we really are and how important it really is. It's a beautiful thing and a spiritual thing, a religious thing, I think. We can describe it with religious terms. And I think as we gather together on this morning, we realize how small we are, how fragile we are, how precious and wonderful life is, that we exist at all in this space. It's gorgeous. On this day, on this Easter day, we are reminded of how small we are, but also how curious we are, how wonderful that is too, that we want to know things, that we want to explore and expand and realize more things about the world and the universe and ourselves. And it's a thing that we need to be reminded of in this setting, especially, I think, because it reminds us that that is good. It reminds us that this is something that God wants from us, that he has made us like this, to want to know things, to want to expand and understand. That is a facet of the human being that is so important. And sometimes we can find in church settings, in settings where we have firm beliefs, that we have things that we hold on to and say are definitely true, and we want to talk about these things, sometimes that can shut down the willingness to explore, the willingness to ask questions and expand. It can shut it down. I want to tell you a very sad story. I have a good friend who I grew up with in Bournemouth, in Dorset, which is where I was born, where I'm from. And he became a Christian in later life. He had originally explored faith while he was a teenager and then went away from the church and came back when he was in his 20s. And we talked about that experience. And he said, the thing that turned me off, the thing that drove me away from the church was that I joined a youth group. I joined a group who were doing some Bible study, who were thinking about faith and working together. And he said, the leaders of the group sent me away. They threw me out of the group because I asked too many questions. I can see head shaking. Yeah, that's exactly. Doesn't it make your heart sink? Hearing my friends say that, I thought, you have been so hurt and so unnecessarily hurt. How could it ever be a bad thing to ask questions in a group that's learning about faith? That's where we ask questions. That's how we learn, right? We ask about them. Thomas, my favourite disciple, those of you who are regular members of this church know this, my son is Thomas. His name is Thomas because he is my favourite disciple. He's my favourite disciple because he asks questions. Thomas is the disciple who is not afraid to look stupid at any given moment. He is quite happy to stand up and either say what he thinks or to express that he doesn't know something. When Jesus gathers his disciples around him at the Last Supper in John 14, and he says to them, I'm going to my Father's house. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. There is space for everyone there. And you know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas goes, I don't. Lord, we don't know the way. How can we know the way to where you're going? And Jesus explains. And that, of course, is the key. Jesus explains. Jesus doesn't hold it against Thomas that he doesn't know and he doesn't understand and that he wants to. When Thomas says to his friends, to his fellow disciples, I'm not going to believe. I'm not going to believe until I touch him, until I put my hand in his side, until I feel the marks in his hands. I'm not going to believe that's actually Jesus. That's his doubt speaking. That's not a lack of faith, really. It's a lack of understanding. Because, I mean, how extraordinary could it be that Jesus returned from the dead? Is it at all surprising that Thomas is having trouble believing that? Not at all surprising, I don't think. Thomas expresses it. He says, I need this. I need this to understand and to know. And what does Jesus do? He doesn't berate him. He doesn't send him away from the group. He doesn't do any of those things. He says, Thomas, come here. Come here and touch. Touch my hands. If that's what you need, come here and touch them. Put your hand in my side. If that's the thing that you need to understand, to let this truth settle in your heart, come and do that. Do not doubt, but believe. Jesus says, your questions are welcome and I will answer them for you. Come and understand. And what does Thomas do? He doesn't. We don't hear. John doesn't say Thomas then went and immediately touched him. Thomas didn't need to do that. He just thought that he might. He sees Jesus and the truth of it sinks into him immediately. My Lord and my God, he says. Beautiful. A beautiful moment of realization. Of wanting to know and having those questions answered by the presence of his living Lord there with him. Asking questions, having doubts, is so fundamentally a part of what we are as human beings and as Christians. Today, as always, when we have this reading, I bring us back to it because we forget sometimes. We forget through the rest of the year. Is it bad that I don't know? Is it bad that I have questions? Do I have stupid questions? Never. There are no stupid questions. Teachers, you know this. There are no stupid questions because they are all about wanting to know more. And wanting to know more is what makes us followers of Jesus. We want to get closer. We want to know him. We want to understand better. And how do we do that? We ask and we talk and we share and we explore. And we let ourselves expand into this huge and beautiful truth. Peter, talking to those first disciples who hadn't seen Jesus, those followers of Jesus who hadn't met him. They're in all of these communities around the Mediterranean. Peter writes to them and says, you believe. You believe because you haven't seen him, but because that truth has settled in you. His Holy Spirit has encouraged you and brought you forwards and you believe. Jesus says to those disciples in the upper room, blessed are those who haven't seen me like this, and yet they will come to believe. They know. That's us. They know that we exist, that we who want to know Jesus are asking those questions today, are trying to draw closer to him today. Ask your questions. Feel those doubts. We will all feel them at some stage. The world is big and it presses on us, and it means that we need to expand and explore. We need to find answers. And that is the joy of it. That is the wonder of it, that we can ask and we can answer. And we can feel ourselves rooted and grounded in our faith because we are not threatened or afraid of anything that's outside of it. We can entertain questions because God is big enough for that. And Jesus comes to us and answers all that we have. Come to him. Ask your questions today. Feel your doubts today. Don't be afraid of them. Embrace them and embrace our Lord who will come to meet you in them. Amen.